It was plainly obvious when four aircraft were hijacked that airline security had to be improved. But Bush resisted calls for making the airport's security screeners federal employees. Then, when he lost that battle to Congress, he placed an old family friend, John McCaw, as head of the new agency to run the security screeners. Within months, McGaw had to be replaced under congressional criticism. It was to become a pattern. Bush and his prep school roommate, Clay Johnson, the White House personnel director, looked first to family loyalists and political cronies to staff key positions. As one Republican columnist told me, these guys are more inbred, secretive, and vindictive than the mafia. It was also plainly obvious after September 11th that Al-Qaeda sanctuary in Taliban-run Afghanistan had to be occupied by U.S. forces, and the Al-Qaeda leaders killed. Unfortunately, Bush's efforts were slow and small. He began by again offering the Taliban a chance to avoid U.S. occupation of their country. And when that failed, he initially sent in only a handful of special forces. When the Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders escaped, he dispatched additional forces, but less than one full division equivalent. Fewer U.S. troops for all of Afghanistan than the number of New York police in Manhattan. One would have thought that it was equally obvious after September 11th that high on the priority list would have been improving U.S. relations with the Islamic world in order to dry up support for the deviant variant of Islam that is Al-Qaeda. To defeat that enemy and prevent it from achieving its objectives, we needed to do more than just arrest and kill people. We and our values needed to be more appealing to Muslims than Al-Qaeda is. By all measures, however, Al-Qaeda and similar groups were increasing in support from Morocco to Indonesia. If that trend continues, the radical imams and their madras schools will produce more terrorists than we jail or shoot. Far from addressing the popular appeal of the enemy that attacked us, Bush handed that enemy precisely what it wanted and needed: proof that America was at war with Islam, that we were the new crusaders come to occupy Muslim land. Nothing America could have done would have provided Al-Qaeda and its new generation of cloned groups a better recruitment device than our unprovoked invasion of an oil-rich Arab country. Nothing else could have so well negated all our other positive acts and so closed Muslim eyes and ears to our subsequent calls for reform in their region. It was as if Osama bin Laden, hidden in some high mountain redoubt, were engaging in long-range mind control of George Bush, chanting, "Invade Iraq. You must invade Iraq."